go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
Now you can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. And we want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time today. We're completing a series that's been very near and dear to our hearts, a wonderful series on what it means to rebuild and renew the Catholic family as the domestic church.
Yes, throughout this series, we are looking at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the Church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. We are discovering, Leslie, that restoring the Catholic family as the domestic church is critical to both rebuilding the Catholic faith here in America as well as placing our families in the Lord's presence for blessing, protection, nurture, and stability.
Yes, Peter, the family does indeed need to be strengthened. It needs to be built up, and it especially needs to be protected at this time in our history. And our culture is just doing all it can to really attack and erode the institution of the family, which the Lord dearly loves.
Amen.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground so far as we've been discovering what it means for the family to be the domestic church. And this is our 12th and final broadcast. Isn't that right, Peter?
That is correct.
And if you're just joining us and you'd like to go back and catch our previous broadcasts on this topic, please feel free to go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and access all of our podcasts. And I think you'll like it. You're going to learn about the family as the domestic church from the Old and New Testament. We'll hear from the early fathers, Vatican II, and then we will dig into some wonderful writings by St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI on the family.
Yes, and we've also shared about Pope Benedict called a quiet attrition taking place in the church, which he attributed to the impact of secularized culture on our Christian faith. This quiet attrition can be seen in some of the troubling data regarding the family and the decline in their participation in the weekly mass attendance and the sacraments as well, Leslie.
Yeah, we spent some time talking about that, even though it was not very encouraging, but we didn't leave our listeners there. Mm-hmm. We did bring forth some wonderful solutions, and we presented some proven strategies that we can practically begin to rebuild the Catholic family as a domestic church. We brought in some thought leaders in the church, Joe Poprocki and Cardinal Chaput, didn't we, Peter?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We discussed the marriage relationship, how each spouse can prioritize their personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and how that can become the basis for the husband and wife to draw not only closer to the Lord, but to one another as well. And that's what we have practiced in our own marriage. So we really, really strongly endorse that. Mm-hmm. And then we shared two clear foundations for biblical fatherhood. We talked about unconditional love and words of authority and how they balance each other. And on that foundation, we talked about some practical ways a father imparts his love and faith to his children.
Now then, last week, we focused on godly motherhood and how mothers are called to become virtuous women that's described in Proverbs 31. Let's start with a quick review today of the virtuous woman as we complete this journey today, Leslie. And in Proverbs 31, we learned that the woman's virtue shines forth in the context within the family as wife and mother.
We covered 8 key virtues, and we're going to run through those very quickly for our listeners. So where do we start, Peter?
Right. Number one, first of all, a trustworthy woman. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life.
The key word in that scripture is the word trust. Trust lays the foundation for husband and wife to work together as a team.
Yes. Secondly, an industrious woman. Proverbs says, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
She's definitely hardworking, industrious, organized, and solutions-oriented. She has to be.
Yes. Thirdly, she's a frugal woman. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard.
Well, we know that the mother plays a key role in the economics of the family. She's involved in maintaining a family budget, and when needed, she goes out and supplements the family income by bringing in additional income if needed.
Yes. Number four, Leslie, she is a strong woman. She clothes her loins with strength and makes her arms strong, the proverb says.
And last week, we talked about where does a mother find that strength? I believe she finds it in her life of prayer, a consistent prayer life with the Lord. The Lord is her strength.
Yes. Fifthly, she's a merciful woman. Scripture says she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy.
We can see that she leads the family toward the corporal works of mercy. She has an antenna out, and she knows what's going on in the Catholic community and neighborhood and leads her family in helping serve those needs.
Yes. Sixth, she is a courageous woman. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet.
Well, we know that every family faces the storms of life, and definitely we have. A godly mother, though, when she's tested, she's strong, she's courageous, she trusts in the Lord.
Seventhly, Leslie, she's a kind woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue.
She teaches her children with patience, wisdom, kindness, and like it says in the book of James, she bridles and controls her tongue.
Mm-hmm. And then eighth, she is a beautiful woman. Proverbs says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's inner beauty, Leslie, right?
Right. Well, the Proverbs end by saying that if a woman lives her life according to the guide to womanhood, her children will rise up and bless her. But what else did we cover last week?
So last week, Leslie, it was really great. We also looked at a saint who embodies these virtues, Saint Elizabeth Seton. We learned that the reason she's such an important role model for women today is that she faced and overcame many of the same obstacles modern mothers face today.
Right. Here's just a few of the obstacles that we talked about last week. As a child, she lived in a blended family where she faced conflict and difficulty. She went from wealth to poverty. She struggled to make ends meet and provide for her family. She became a widow at the young age of 29. And after becoming a single mother of 5 children, she struggled to find employment as a means of support of her family. She was rejected by society when she became a Catholic. She lost 2 of her own children, and she worried about the spiritual well-being of her children, just like we do, and she had a wayward son.
Yes, in addition to being a wife and a mother, she was a pioneer to the development of Catholic education here in America at a time when Catholics were looked down upon in our country. Not only was she an educational innovator, Leslie, she founded the Sisters of Charity in 1808. What was the secret of her success? She was a woman of tremendous faith who relied upon God and found God upon all things.
Well, we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we're going to jump in and complete our series on rebuilding the family as the domestic church with a summary of wonderful practical tools given by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
to get the truths and the promises of God into the hearts of people through these airways.
The message of Christ gets out that way. It's incredible.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today, we're completing our series on the call to rebuild and renew the Catholic family as the domestic church. In our last segment, we reviewed the vital place godly motherhood plays in our families, and we now are going to turn to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. They've given us 12 tools to express the culture of the domestic church in each of our families.
Yes, Leslie, so all of these practical expressions are what you and I have been discussing in our last 11 broadcasts. And I again want to encourage our listeners to go back and access our previous broadcasts in this series at CatholicRadioIndy.org, where we lay the foundations of these practical tools. In other words, I think if you only hear the tools but do not lay the philosophical foundations in our families that we've talked about, the tools will not have an enduring mark in the family. So let's begin. Number one, the bishops say, begin praying as a family and reading from Scripture daily, certainly before meals, but also the first thing in the morning or before bed. Find a time that works for your family. Use the liturgy of the church as a model for prayer and try to include heartfelt, unstructured prayer as well. That's a great balance that the bishops are giving. They encourage families to obviously learn rote prayers, like first of all, the Our Father, Leslie, but also to teach our children to pray unstructured prayers, kind of spontaneously, so they can learn to talk to the Lord in a very personal way, right?
Right. And I think a great place to start is just reading Scripture and saying prayers as part of your bedtime ritual. There's lots of children's devotionals out there right now that are available that can give you some guided reading and prayer if you need some help.
Yes. Number two, the bishops say this, have a crucifix in a prominent place in the home and in every bedroom.
I think it's important to create sacred spaces in our home by having scriptures available, icons, holy water, sacred art, rosaries. I think all those things are so important.
Yes, and also, Leslie, to create a sacred space or what's called an oratory in the home, which becomes a visible sign of spiritual awareness and devotion, a prayer space. And I know that that's one of my favorite places in our home, is where I can retreat and look at the icons and look at my books and look at all the special things that draw me closer to the Lord. Number three, the bishops say this, make the sacraments a regular celebration. Take the whole family to confession and mass. Boy, this is so critical, and we've talked quite a bit about this.
Yes, we've mentioned this several times already.
One of my favorite images, I can see it when I've been at church, and these large families lined up, father, mother, and the little young people getting ready to go in and confess their sins. And I like to think this about confession. Confession is a time of freedom. I heard one person say one time, think of going to confession as going to the dentist. How many little kids want to go to the dentist, right?
None. I just totally disagree with that analogy.
Right. But going to confession really is a place of liberty and joy. Fourthly, the bishops say, begin family traditions based on the seasons celebrated in the liturgical calendar. Boy, that's really been a part of our heart even before we returned to the Catholic Church, Leslie.
Right. We've talked about doing the Advent wreath, but you can create your own family traditions. When our children were growing up, we started the tradition of waiting to put the star on top of the Christmas tree until Christmas Eve. And it was to remind the children that the star appeared in the sky when Jesus was born, and it became quite a ceremony, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Fifthly, the bishops encourage this. Make your vacation a holy pilgrimage by visiting the shrines and saints of our land and of the world.
This takes a little planning.
Yes, it does. And they say the power of pilgrimage cannot be understated. In fact, the Catechism, Leslie, talks about the importance of pilgrimages. It says this, pilgrimages evoke our earthly journey toward heaven and are traditionally very special occasions for renewal in prayer. For pilgrims seeking living water, shrines are special places for living the forms of Christian prayer in church.
And we've gone on pilgrimage. We've definitely made a point of praying for people at our different stops.
Yeah, we've learned to take a prayer list when we go on pilgrimage.
And then on our trip to Colorado last year, we made a plan to stop and visit the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis. It is a one-of-a-kind cathedral. It has spectacular mosaics all throughout the church. And it is so fabulous that this church earned the title the Rome of the West. So yeah. I encourage anybody to add that on to your travel schedule.
Yes, and also in this point five, Leslie, the bishops point out the importance of visiting monasteries. They said in regions where monasteries exist, the vocation of these communities is to further the participation of the faithful in the liturgy of the hours and to provide necessary solitude for more intense personal prayer. And I know going to school at St. Meinrad School of Theology and Seminary kind of became a second home to me for 4 years. And I know that since then, it's been a special place for us to go visit and renew, just as the bishops encouraged.
Right, and you encourage everyone, if they haven't visited St. Meinrad, to do so. It's in our backyard.
Amen to that. Next, number six, the bishops say, make worshiping God a priority. Never miss Mass, even while traveling. And they give us the website. Go to www.masstimes.org to find a church near you. So vacations are lovely times, aren't they? For us to enjoy God's creation and His blessings on our lives. They're a real gift from God when we can take a vacation. But what's a better way to give thanks than to make Mass a priority on the road? I think this is really important also for the family to see that vacation is not a vacation from worshiping the Lord and attending the liturgy.
Right. We've had some wonderful experiences on the road of attending Mass in all different locations. We've been to Mass in Italy, Canada, Michigan, Colorado, Florida, Massachusetts, North Carolina. And in each of these locations, we're struck with the experience of being part of the universal church. It's a wonderful experience.
Yes, it is.
Well, the listeners, it's time to take another short break, and when we return, we will discuss the last six tools for building the domestic church from our Catholic bishops. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Do you like game shows? How about trivia? You're listening to Catholic Radio, so I assume you're interested in the Catholic Church. Catholic Challenge 2.0 is the newest addition to our programming lineup here on Catholic Radio Indy. A 30-minute quiz show covering almost everything Catholic. Catholic Challenge 2.0 tests your knowledge and teaches at the same time. Check it out every Thursday afternoon at 4:30 right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today in our series on rebuilding and renewing the family as the domestic church, we're just discussing the United States Bishop's summary of 12 tools to implement in the culture of family life to make a domestic church. In our last segment, we mentioned finding a Mass when you're traveling, and I'd like to let you know that on the Catholic Radio Indy website, we do have that link for www.masstimes.org, so you can find a church near you wherever you're traveling.
Yes, Leslie, and while we're talking about websites, let me mention that our listeners can access these tools that come from the bishops at www.usccb/tools-for-building-a-domestic-church.
Okay, so let's go on. We have a few more tools to cover.
Peter? Yes, the seventh tool from the bishops is to teach stewardship and charity to your children through word and example. Leslie, as we were looking at these are so practical and so good that the bishops have outlined, and I'm kind of excited that it really reaffirms the things that we've been talking about these last 11 weeks.
Yeah, and I like the kiss analogy, keep it simple, stupid. So the bishops have kept it very simple.
Yes. So by stewardship, we mean that rather than I'm the owner of all my stuff, I have been put on this earth to care for the blessings God has bestowed upon me. This includes, Leslie, things like material blessings, relationships, gifts from the Holy Spirit, my time, talent, and treasures. These are gifts from the Lord. They don't belong to me, but they're given to me for a season to steward. And I understand that all of the above is given so that I can serve others in love.
And I think a great place to start here with your children is to have them participate when you're cleaning out their clothing and toys, and have them help you select those things and those items that they would like to donate to someone in need.
Yeah, and they can begin to see that the things that they no longer use can be given to those in need, as you say. Number 8, Leslie, the bishops say, demonstrate love for your spouse, your children, your neighbors, and the world. Remind children that they are loved by God. Now, this love of God is unique, isn't it? Because Jesus brought us that unique agape love, this unique sacrificial love that the world cannot give us. It comes only from Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said to his disciples and also to us, love one another as I have loved you. That's that agape love, Leslie.
And one of the ways in your family that you can demonstrate love is to be reminded of the importance of physical affection. I know so many people who have had struggles in their adult life because they never received hugs or kisses or heard their parents verbalize how much they loved them. So don't forget about that. That's so important.
Yeah, simple thing, but very important, like you're saying. Number 9, the bishops say, talk freely about the presence of God in the joys and sorrows of your life. Now, remember the power of faith stories to bring to the family. We've talked about how stories and how impactful story is. We've talked before how story captures the brain and memory in a way that facts never do. Stories are powerful when you tell them in your family.
Yes, tell your family stories, how Jesus Christ has been real to you, how you've encountered him, how the Lord has intervened in the family throughout your history, how he's answered prayer, how you've dealt with sorrows. I think it's really important.
Mm-hmm. Point 10, Leslie, welcome into your home other spiritual leaders as well as your brothers and sisters in the church. In other words, the bishops are telling us, practice hospitality by hosting people, individuals, and even a small group in your home. You know, we have done this now for going on 4 decades of having small Bible studies and small groups meet in our home, and it's really special. The home environment, rather than a private, impersonal location, is one that is inviting to the Christian community as well as the stranger.
Yes, I'll never forget when we were hosting some pastors from Nigeria, how they were very concerned when they came to America that people didn't invite you into their homes.
Yeah.
You know, they were just uncomfortable with that, mm-hmm. or that it just struck them as being different.
Mm-hmm. 11th, the bishops say, participate in the lay ministries and activities of your parish community as a family. Remember, this was the final result of Pope St. John Paul II's foundations for the family as the domestic church in his groundbreaking apostolic exhortation, Familiaris Consortio, called the Fellowship of the Family. He said the family was built upon the rock, finds its identity by becoming a family on mission. That was the capstone.
Yes, I think the Pope was actually very much challenging all of us to think about how our families as the domestic church can together serve Jesus and extend the kingdom of God into the world. We need to take that challenge on.
Finally, Leslie, the last point from the bishops is this. Allow your children to witness you in private prayer. Encourage your children to pray daily on their own and listen to God's call, and if heard, respond. Now, again, we've spoken a lot about this aspect as well, Leslie. Let your children know both about your devotional life and then how they, too, can build one in their own life as well. Share some of the great answers to prayer that you've received out of your devotions over the years that will encourage your children's faith.
I have personally experienced this when I was growing up. I've often spoke of the witness of my mother, Elsie Brooks, who had a daily devotion time. And I always remember her sitting in her chair in the morning with her prayer book. And it's always impacted me.
Yes, Leslie. We're going to end this series today by doing something special in our prayer time. We are going to share the litany of the Holy Family, both as a prayer and an encouragement for all of you, our listeners. So, Leslie, let's begin. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph,
pray for us.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, most worthy of our veneration,
pray for us.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, called the Holy Family from all time,
pray for us.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Son, Mother, Head of the Holy Family,
pray for us.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Divine Child, Pure Spouse, and Chaste Spouse,
pray for us.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Restorers of Fallen Families,
pray for us.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Image of the Blessed Trinity here on earth,
pray for us.
Holy Family, tested by the greatest of difficulties,
pray for us.
Holy Family, with much suffering on the journey to Bethlehem,
pray for us.
Holy Family, without a welcome to Bethlehem,
pray for us.
Holy Family, visited by the poor shepherds,
pray for us.
Holy Family, obliged to live in a stable,
pray for us.
Holy Family, praised by the angels,
pray for us.
Holy Family, venerated by the wise men from the east,
pray for us.
Holy Family, greeted by the pious Simeon in the temple,
pray for us.
Holy Family, persecuted and exiled to a foreign country,
pray for us.
Holy Family, hidden and unknown in Nazareth,
pray for us.
Holy Family, faithful in the observance of divine laws,
pray for us.
Holy Family, perfect model of the Christian family,
pray for us.
Holy Family, center of peace and concord,
pray for us.
Holy Family, whose protector is a model of paternal care,
pray for us.
Holy Family, whose mother is a model of maternity diligence,
pray for us.
Holy Mother, whose divine child is a model of filial obedience,
pray for us.
Holy Family, poor in material goods but rich in divine blessings,
pray for us.
Holy Family, as nothing in the eyes of men but so great in heaven,
pray for us.
Holy Family, our support in life and our hope in death,
pray for us.
Holy Family, patron and protector of our congregation,
pray for us.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
Let us pray. O God of infinite goodness and kindness, who has deigned to call us to this family, give us the grace to venerate Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, so that imitating them in this life, we may enjoy with them the life to come. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, that was beautiful, Peter. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.